All right. It is 11:15 on the clock. That Tuesdays and Thursdays means Mabel Louise is here.
I'm here, Hello. And it's a good day, and the roads are all clear. Thank you, Jesus. It's wonderful. And that's a beautiful day in Chippewa Valley. How is your day? I just love visiting with you and sharing what the Lord has taught me. I love the word, and I just live in it. And today, I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever had to dial 911 in an emergency? Well, if you stay tuned, let me visit with you about another 911. Okay, hang in there. Here's my verse for the day, Psalm 36:7. How excellent is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men can put their trust under the shadow of your wings. Beautiful verse, beautiful promise. Don't you love it? Oh, how good the Lord is. And you know what? There are over 3,000 promises in the Bible for you and me. Oh, the Lord is so good, isn't he? Well, most people know that dialing the number 911 in the United States will get them in touch with emergency help. And it's really so simple that even preschoolers have saved the lives of family members by just dialing it. Just 3 little numbers will do it. In one case, a woman's car had been hijacked, and she and her infant son were still in the car. She dialed 911 on her cellular phone, but the hijacker was totally unaware what she had done. With the police dispatcher listening, that young mother cleverly included clues about her location as she talked to the hijacker. Well, by doing that, the police were able to locate her and the baby and arrest the criminal. In an emergency, help is just as close as those 3 little punches on the phone keypad. And many times our crisis requires the Lord's help. In every case, really. And when this happens, we can recall a beautiful verse. Yep, that's it. 9:1-2. 9:1:1-2 from the book of Psalms, God's hymn book. And my verse is for today is what I'm going to take the first verse, which is 91:1, and talk to you about it today. And here is what it says. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, and in Him will I trust. Oh, that verse was so full of nuggets, I couldn't finish the rest of the whole psalm because it just is so beautiful. And I just want you to stay tuned and let me teach you about that particular verses. There are 16 verses in Psalm 91, but I just passed up the rest for time because this part of the verse is a clue of what the rest is all about. And it's saying to you and to me that we can rest under the shadow of the Lord, and He is truly our refuge and our fortress. And you know what? In these days where so much confusion, isn't it wonderful to be able to claim that beautiful promise. And you know, Psalm 91 is really a psalm of life. It's a messianic psalm, and it gives us a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he wants to protect us and love us, and that he will stay with us like a shadow at all times. Isn't that beautiful? And it shares the place of protection and security. And my, do we ever need that in our lives today? And I was particularly blessed as I thought about the term shadow. I remember an old song entitled Me and My Shadow. I used to sing that as a child. And no doubt you've used the term he or she is a shadow of their dad or their mom or some brother or sister. I can remember my friends used to say to me that my dad was my shadow. I always followed him around on the farm. I wanted to be on his lap on the implements and on the tractor and on the horse and everywhere. I wanted to be with my dad so I could be outside and I could enjoy the great outdoors. And so, meaning, in other words, the shadow, meaning they stay close by his side. And that's what I did with my dad. The psalmist is teaching us, too, that when we dwell in the presence of the Lord, or should I say his secret place, that we are under his shadow and under the Lord's protection. So, therefore, the term shadow was often used as a place of divine refuge. And this verse is telling us that no threat can overpower us. So I called it this morning my 911 verse. In the Holy Land, there is danger in the hot sun, and the shadow or the shade of the trees would be a place of real care and shelter. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about the term shadow. Actually, it often was used as a reference to a tent. And living in tents goes way back as far as Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all lived most of their lives in tents and around the land of Canaan. And it was said of Abraham that he pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar, Genesis 26:17. It was so interesting when my sweetheart and I visited the land of Jordan. Actually, we spoke in several churches in that land. We have several missionaries there. We visited them as well as their churches. And so while we were in Jordan traveling around, we saw lots of tents that were lived in by the Bedouin Arabs. And they would move from place to place with their goat and their sheep. And when the pasture was depleted, they would move on to a different place. And usually the tents were made of black goat's hair. The term house of hair also is a reference in the Bible. And that was a coarse, heavy fabric that served to protect in the winter from the cold winds. And in the summer, the sides were usually lifted up and the tent served as a sunshade. For you women who sew, the goat's hair was the same thing as sackcloth. And sackcloth was made of prickly, coarse goat's hair. The Apostle John compares darkness to sackcloth when he said in Revelation 6:12, excuse me, the sun became black like sackcloth of hair. Usually the tents were pitched in a cluster of several families. And there would be one chief who would be head of the clan. And, of course, the number of tents that made up the encampment of Abraham must have been just huge for his warfare against the kings that took Lot captive. States that he used a band of 318 trained soldiers who were born in his household. Think about it. And then Hebrews 11:9 gives us a clue that by faith, Abraham became a sojourner in the land of promise, as in a land not his own dwelling, because he lived in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. They all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them, greeted them afar, and having confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. When guests would come, the people of that day believed that they were sent by God. And if you recall in Genesis 18, Abraham received the Lord when three guests appeared. Abraham prepared quickly the food and invited them in. And I learned that it was a law of the land that they received the guests with honor. If a sojourner was in the desert and it was cold and they were hungry, he could go to the tent of the chief of the clan. He would need to find out the name of the chief and pull on the rope by the side of the tent and call out his name. And the Bible says in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, it says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." And Paul said, we should be given to hospitality. And the custom was to greet one another by saying, "Peace be to you," and the guests would answer, "And on you, peace." Then the one offering the hospitality in the tent would bow, and the guests would be greeted with a holy kiss, and then he would remove his shoes and be invited to sit down on the floor on a mat. Then after bowing, after the greeting, and after the kiss, then they would wash the guests' feet. And then after that, they would offer a nice cold drink of water. It was custom for the guests, if they came on business, to refuse the water and the food until they had said why they had come. And a good example of this was the servant of Abraham who went to seek a bride for Isaac. And if you recall, he refused to eat anything until he had talked to Laban about wanting to find a bride for Isaac. It was also customary for people who lived in tents for the host to protect the guest even to his own death. So if you recall, Lot protected his guests, the angels. And it was also polite to beg the guest to stay one more day and one more meal. That's talked about over in Judges. Genesis 18 says that Abraham walked with his departing guests to bring them on their way. So often, the host would walk away to say goodbye. I thought you'd get a blessing out of hearing how these people who lived in tents in the days of Abraham and how the psalmist was trying to tell us what a good job the Lord would do if we would dwell in the shelter of the Most High and if we would rest in the shadow of the Almighty. And it goes on to say, "I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. Isaiah 4:6 says it so well. And there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a cover from the storm and the rain. That pretty much explains it, doesn't it? And then Lamentations 4:20 says, under his shadow we shall live among the heathen. So I guess we can conclude from this beautiful verse found in 9:1:1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my God, in whom I will trust. Yes, we can say with the psalmist, the only safe place we can go today is in the shadow of our wonderful Lord. I hope that you can say that that's where you are today. And so God addressed himself as El Shaddai, meaning God Almighty. He said, walk with me and be thou perfect. He wants us to walk with him, and he promises if we do, we are kept in his shadow to protect us. God followed this by making a covenant with Abraham. And guess what? It still exists today. So today I hope that you are in the shadow of the Almighty. God bless you and goodbye.